Thank you so much again for being here. We certainly appreciate these opportunities, I do, that we get able to get together and study from God's Word, and hopefully we'll gain more knowledge about God's Word and be able to use it better in our lives. That's the whole intent. Responsibility of the one getting up publicly to teach is to teach only the things found in God's Word, nothing more, nothing less. As was mentioned in the class this morning, and I don't say it often enough, at any time I say something that's contrary to God's will, please talk to me about it. I'm more than happy to discuss God's Word. Several of you know that. I love studying the Word of God, so it's not a problem. Be glad to do it. Mark 1, 14 and 15. And after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." 1 Corinthians 9, 16. Paul would say, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel or not if I do not preach the gospel." We can see from these passages of Scripture this must be very important. This it was the primary thing that Jesus was doing while He was on earth. And certainly Paul, it was the primary duty of him while he was on earth. And so we see this being taught and how important it was. So this week we're going to talk about teaching the gospel. Last week we discussed the gospel and we talked about where it came from, how it was planned back in eternity, how it was revealed in prophecy, and then when it was first taught in fact. And then the gospel we found was God's power for salvation to everyone who believes. We also know that recently Roger designed some cards, and several of us had opportunity to look at that. I think most people did, and finally a decision was made on the cards. And those cards are to be used. They're available for anyone to take and give to someone, where you can put your name on the back. You can invite someone. You can ask them to study with you with it, if that's your choice. So we do need to talk to others about this good news, the gospel. We're going to talk today about what it is, why we should teach it, when we should teach it to others, who should teach, who should be taught, and how we should teach. And I think all those things are very important. We're going to start with what we should teach. So we're getting ready to talk to someone, and that person is not a Christian. And our problem is, many times we're starting to talk to them and we get caught up in something that they want to talk about that's totally off the subject, and we get waylaid, and we want to show them how much knowledge we have, and we talk for hours about some subject and they walk away and we never got to talk to them about what they needed to do. We think later, wow, we shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have done that. We need to be very careful when we're talking to someone that we just stick to the basics. We say, look, let's just stick to what this is all about. Let's first talk about the basis of why I want to talk to you about the Bible. Really very simple. Again, I want to use 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 a little differently. I'm getting ready to talk to someone. I say to them, the basis of my salvation are on three important facts. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, that's exactly what Paul said. That's why I say it. Not because I thought this up. Not because, wow, Abe is a genius. He thought this up and it is a wonderful thing. No. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you. So now I'm getting ready to talk to someone. Wouldn't I want to say exactly the same thing that Paul went teaching everywhere? Which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. What I'm about to talk about, sometimes we just go over this real quickly. We don't even think about what we're talking about. As Cody said in his prayer, we don't even realize, as he's talking to the church at Corinth, because we can read a few chapters before this, that he's concerned about them not even partaking of the Lord's Supper properly because they forgot the gospel. What was it all about? Well, it's very simple. I delivered you thirdly. No. First. What I want to talk to someone about first. Keep it simple, as we're going to talk about later. tell people that which we also received. Where did we receive it? From the written Word of God. That Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. And I talked about this last week. Even the old Scriptures said this. That's what He's talking about. If you knew them, you understood that He was buried, He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So, we need to be careful and don't get caught up in a lot of other things. We tend to want to talk about issues that are complex rather than keeping it simple. Stick with the facts. When we're talking to someone about why they should be obedient to the gospel, and I will guarantee you, almost, that in most countries where the gospel is not as prevalent as it is in this country, this is exactly what brings people to Christ, wouldn't you? I would argue that in the first century, this is what was taught that brought people to Christ. Why are we so afraid to talk to someone about this? And then those commands to be obeyed. I alluded to them last week on the basis of you doing it if you're not a Christian. But if I'm going to talk to you about being a Christian, there are some commands to be obeyed, because in 1 Peter 4:17, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will the end be of those who do not obey the gospel? That means there are those who do not obey the gospel, thus they are not Christians, and he's talking about the difference between them versus a Christian and a judgment against a Christian. So if that's true, I need to tell someone, you need, and I might use the term, obey the gospel, but let me explain that to you from the Bible. The gospel says you have to believe. That was one of the first things that was taught. And when Paul, as was discussed in the class this morning by Cody, went to talk to these Gentiles, he had been teaching the Jews, he's talking about this. And Peter alludes to it because Peter was the first one that went to them. Now, what would Peter do if he's going to go talk to the Gentiles? Well, he would do exactly the same thing he did when he talked to the Jews. Would he teach the Gentiles something different? Did he go to Cornelius and say, we need to really delve into the law of Moses. Let's spend about 15 hours here and talk about these commands given through the law of Moses, and let's discuss those and why we don't need to do that today. Is that what he did when he went to the house of Cornelius? And I'm only saying these things to get us better equipped and think about what we're doing. We need to tell people. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Peter said this was so important. This is a discussion about circumcision and whether it's necessary or not, talking to fellow Christians. But he said, I didn't talk about that to the Gentiles. What did I talk to them about? Death, burial, resurrection, and I told them they need to believe in that. He didn't get into a bunch of other things. He didn't talk to them about a bunch of other things. Have faith that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that He died, He was buried, and He rose again. We don't need to get into all the many details about it. Tell people that. Tell them they need to repent. They need to make some changes in their life. As we just looked at this, isn't that what Jesus said? He's talking about this gospel of the kingdom. He's starting to teach it now. The time's fulfilled. Repent and believe in the gospel. You have to make some changes, you have to tell people. Every one of us has sin in our life. We need to get it out of our life. We need to turn away from sin, turn toward God. Why make this difficult when we're talking to people? We need to tell them they confess. What's this confession all about? This confession isn't going to someone and saying, well, Cody, I've done this, this, and this. This is a confession, as he says in Romans 10:9, that if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So I'm going to go talk to someone. What would I tell them? If Mike wasn't a Christian, what would I go tell him? I would tell him these things. Simple. Keep it simple. I don't need to get into details about what a church does or anything else. I just tell them what the Bible teaches for them to do. And I need to tell them they need to be baptized or immersed. I gave several scriptures. I usually try to give different scriptures every week on things. But in Acts 8, If I'm going to talk to someone, what do I say to them? Well, in Acts 8, 12 and 13, but when they believed, Philip, now we've got them believing, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name or authority of Jesus Christ, as he taught them that, what happened? Both men and women were baptized. Now, why would that possibly happen? Well, because they believed. See, once you believe, that's what you're going to do. You're going to believe God, and that's what I need to tell someone. Simon himself also believed. And what did he do? When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Now, I put this up here. We know this. But why, when we're talking to people, why don't we keep it simple? Let's don't get into all of these other issues. You ever notice how many people want to talk about Ezekiel or something else? You say, wait just a second. Let's talk about the basis of my salvation. Let's talk about the basis of your salvation. But now, we get in more depth with Christians, don't we? We all know that, correct? We understand those things and we need to be reminded of them, but we need to let people know as Christians a little bit differently. You're going to talk to me now. What are you going to talk to me about? Well, you're going to talk to me about how to conduct myself. Philippians 1:27, Paul said, only let your conduct be as become or worthy of the gospel of Christ. You're going to say, Abe, this is the way your conduct should be. And I'm going to say to you, well, wait just a second, though. It doesn't say not to, and you're going to say to me, but it says what to do. You see, I need to prove mine from the Word of God, so what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to go to the gospel. What does the gospel say about my conduct? The gospel tells me how to conduct myself. If it doesn't, why did he tell them that? So that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So it's clear about one thing. If I can prove mine conduct from the Word of God, Lauren can prove her conduct from the Word of God, Debbie can prove her conduct from the Word of God, Pam can prove her conduct from the Word of God, guess what? We're all striving together in the faith of the gospel. There's not going to be any division if we can prove it from the Word of God, correct? That's what he's saying. But it has to be on a continuing basis. We have to continually work on this. We have to continually do it. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you've become dear to us. Question, am I dear to you? Wouldn't then you want to work with me on my life if you really care about me? You know, so many people get kind of frustrated because someone talks to them about their conduct or says, no, you can't do that, or you need to do this, or where do you prove that? And they go, oh, come on now. What are you doing? Well, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm concerned about you. I'm giving my life to help you with your life. And to completely establish a Christian. 1 Thessalonians 3:2, sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ. Well, wait, they already know about the death, burial, and resurrection. Well, we know it's more than that, don't we? We talked about that last week. To establish you and encourage you concerning the faith. What do we gather here for? To establish and encourage one another in the faith. Why do we get together outside of here? To establish and encourage each other in the faith. We need to spend more time doing this. It's important if we're going to be in the gospel of Christ. But it's got to be the whole counsel of God. Not just what I want, not just what you want, it's the whole council. Paul told the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, 25 through 27, and indeed now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Therefore I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all men. Every preacher should be able to say that. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. That's what's important. Preaching the kingdom of God. All of these things go together. Not adding to it or taking from it. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophets of this book. Now just talking about the book of Revelation. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book. If it's that important in that book, it's important in every book. So here's my question. Why would we, in talking to one another, speculate on things and suddenly assume things are okay? Why would we add to God's Word? Why would we take from it? Are we really concerned about our souls? Because the gospel is enough. We already said it's the power of God and the salvation. It's enough. We never change it, try to improve it, or use other unauthorized methods to do things. Most of the time, people want to come to you and say, show me where that's wrong. You know what I say to people? You show me where it's right. If you're going to do something, you better have authority for it. And people get so upset about authority. Really? I'm going to show you later, we better not, because he has it. It's not Abe telling you this. If it was Abe, you could say to me, shut up, Abe, I don't really care what you have to say. But it's not. And if I don't teach you this, and then you go to someone else and you tell them something's okay, remember, you are teaching someone to do something that God did not authorize. So if I do it, I'm going to answer to God. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. I marvel, he said, that you're turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel. But note this, which is not another. Well, why would Paul say that? But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Read the book of Galatians. You know what the book of Galatians is about. He sent it to a bunch of churches up in a certain area, and he wanted them to know that what they were doing was contrary to God's will. That they were trying to bring in parts of the old law. They were picking and choosing from the law of Moses and saying, now you need to obey these things. And he's saying to them, if you truly understood the gospel from the old law, you wouldn't try to bring these things in because you would note from the... It's not a different gospel. Was Isaiah 53 different than the New Testament? Was any of these things that he taught different? No. He taught them that this prophet was coming. You better listen to him. But even if we are an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preach, let him be anathema. Completely, totally separated from God, accursed to damnation. Not serious? Don't care what I do? Don't care if I have authority for things? You see, they had intermingled parts of the old law. They were wanted circumcision was one of the things they really wanted these Gentiles to do. And he says, but the law, which was 430 years later, that is after Abraham, cannot annul, or after them going into the land of Egypt, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ that it should make the promise of no effect. That's the gospel. You can't change that, he said. It's not another one. You're just adding to it. That's the problem. You're perverting the one he already taught. For if the inheritance is of the law, it's no longer promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. What purpose then does the law serve? That is the law of Moses. It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come. To whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hands of a mediator. Which one do you want? You said you want to go to a law that was only put there temporarily to bring you to Christ, appointed through angels by the hands of a mediator, or do you want to listen to Jesus Christ? Don't pervert it. The gospel from the Old Testament is identical to the New. Which means, if you understand that, the law of Moses was completely done away with, only given to the Jews, never given to Gentiles, for a temporary time. We do not attract people with physical food and drink, but with spiritual food. Our problem is, we've got all these great ideas of how to get people here. I'll tell you how to get people here. Do it exactly the way God says. Don't violate God's law in doing it. How did we know that? Well, we studied that in the class this morning, didn't we? But in John 6, 25 through 27, after he had fed them, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Oh, they didn't want him to go away because he was giving them all these things. And Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." Which one you want? You want people to be filled with the Word of God or filled with food? "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him." But, oh, I got greater ideas. I know better than Jesus Christ, don't you? I know ways to attract people, don't you? No, I only know of one. The only way to bring someone to Christ, the only way, is through the gospel, the good news. What does one teach? Well, basics. More in depth to Christian and never own doctrine. Why? Isaiah said it in prophecy, "Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" That's repeated in Romans 10. About the need for someone to teach. You know what Isaiah 53 is about. He said, "Who will believe this report?" Well, I'll tell you who will believe it. If someone's taught it, they have an honest heart, they'll believe it, won't they? Christ commanded His disciples to teach the whole world. That's the reason we know we need to teach. Why? He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Why should each one of us in this room be trying to teach other people? That's the only way they'll be taught. People are lost in sin who do not believe in Christ. John 8, 24, "Therefore I say to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am, you'll die in your sins." And I'm going to tell you the biggest reason we need to convince people. Do you want to see anyone lost eternally? Anyone? Is there someone you just can't wait to stand to see to be lost eternally? I don't know of anyone. I don't want anyone to be lost eternally. So why wouldn't I teach them? Because in 2 Corinthians 5:11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust all well known in your consciences." Why? Some of the reasons was prophesied in the Old Testament, Isaiah, one of them. Christ commanded His disciples to go out and teach the whole world. Thus we follow that example and we go try to teach everyone we can. People are lost in sin, and we know the terror of the Lord. The gospel, as we discussed it last week, was planned before time began. It was taught in prophecy from the beginning. Those of old who believed and obeyed received salvation through the spiritual death of Christ. He taught that if you have that kind of faith, if you believe, you could have eternal salvation. Just believe. No, that's not what He taught. That belief was like those of old. It had to show with it some obedience to what they believed in. The truth is, to have that hope, we must do exactly as Jesus and His disciples taught in the New Testament. When I'm talking to people, I try, and I've learned my lesson about it, and I'm telling you the same thing. Keep it simple, keep it straightforward, teach them the truth. So today, I'm keeping it simple, keeping to just the written Word of God, and begging anyone that's not a Christian today to be obedient to that Word. We would certainly be happy to assist you anytime during our assembly, but we also will stand and sing this song to make it very convenient for anyone to do that. Or as a Christian, if you have other needs that you would like for us to know about, you can either raise your hand or come to the front, and we'll certainly try to help you with those needs. Would you please stand?